സംസാരധാവാനനലിതലോക ത്രനായ കാരുണ്യഘനാഘനാത്വം പ്രാപ്തസ്യ കല്യാണഗുണാർണവസ്യ വന്ദേ ഗുരോ ശ്രീചരണാരവിന്ദം വന്ദേ ഗുരോ ശ്രീചരണാരവിന്ദം വന്ദേ ഗുരോ ശ്രീചരണാരവിന്ദം മഹാപ്രഭു കീർത്തന നൃത്യ ഗീത വാദിത്രമാദ്യാൻ മനസുരസേന രോമാഞ്ചകം വാശുതരംഗഭാജൗ വന്ദേ ഗുരോ ശ്രീചരണാരവിന്ദം രോമാഞ്ചകം വാശ്രുതരംഗഭാജൗ വന്ദേ ഗുരോ ശ്രീചരണാരവിന്ദം ശ്രീവിഗ്രഹാരാധന നൃത്യനാന ശൃംഗാര തന്മാന്തിരമാർജനാദൗ യുക്തസ്യ ഭക്തം ശനിയുഞ്ജതോ വി വന്ദേ ഗുരോ ശ്രീചരണാരവിന്ദം ചതുർവിധാ ശ്രീഭഗവത്പ്രസാദൗ സാധ്വാനതൃപ്താൻ ഹരിഭക്തസംഘാൻ കൃത്വൈവ തൃപ്തിം ഭജത സദൈവ വന്ദേ ഗുരോ ശ്രീചരണാരവിന്ദം ശ്രീരാധികാമാധവയോരപാരൗ മാധുര്യലീലാ ഗുണരൂപനാംനാ പ്രദിക്ഷണ സ്വാധനലോലുപാസ്യ വന്ദേ ഗുരോ ശ്രീചരണാരവിന്ദം നികുഞ്ജയൂനോരധികളി സിദ്ധൈ യയലിഭീർയുക്തിരപേക്ഷണീയ തത്രാക്തിദാക്ഷ്യാദതിവല്ലഭാസ്യ വന്ദേ ഗുരോ ശ്രീചരണാരവിന്ദം സഷധരീ ത്വേന സമസ്ത ശാസ്ത്രൈ ഉക്തസ്തഥാ ഭാവ്യതൈവ സദ്ഭീ ഹിന്ദു പ്രഭോര്യ പ്രിയേവ താസ്യ വന്ദേ ഗുരോ ശ്രീചരണാരവിന്ദം യസ്യ പ്രസാദാത് ഭഗവത് പ്രസാദൗ യസ്യ പ്രസാദാനഗതി കുതോപി ധ്യയം സ്തുവാം തസ്യ യശസ്ത്രീ സന്ധ്യം ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀ ಶರಣಾರವಿಂದಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಂ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯದೇಶಕಾರಿಣೇ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀಯದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀಯದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी, गोबिजन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी, जय गोबिजन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे राधा गोकुल नंद राधा गोकुल नंद राधे जय सीता राम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय सीता राम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनम मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगम मामुद्धर भवान्नवान् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि श्रीकृतोऽसि मायानाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं नव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेशानादस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनम यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनम प्रणामो दुःखशमन तं नमामि हरिम्बरम जन्माद्यस्यैदोन्वयादिदरदश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरार्तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरय तेजो वारिमृतम् यथा विनिमयो यत्रत्र सर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकम् सत्यं वरं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्झितगैदवोत्रवरमो नर्मत्सराणं सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिहृदे किं वा वरेश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यते शुश्रूषुभि तत्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं बलं शुकमुखानमृतद्रवसंयुतं विपदभागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिया भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुम यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहगादरमज्जुहाव पुत्रैति तन्मयदयतरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिल श्रुतिसारवेगमध्याल्पदीपमदितिदीर्षदां तमोन्दं संसारिणां करुणयाहुराणगुह्यं तं व्यासस्वनमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीय किशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादानेन्दोह मम वाजि विजृम्भदां मुरारे मधुरीं नक्कनिगाभिगाभिगाभि नमो ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वंदे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टशायासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीतांबरं करविराजित चक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमति सुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालेशमनिशं कृति भावयामि कोमलं भूजयन्वेणं श्यामलोऽयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म वासदाम्बुरतो मम मुखं करोति वाजालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपादमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമതവർഷണീ ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്തതാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷണി നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസ വിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്രായ ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോവത്സസുതീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജേദ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോത്പല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ മഹിനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കണം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാ ഭാരതമംഗജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്യുന്തിവേസ്തവേദൈർസംഗപദേ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥേതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ in the Srimad Bhagavatam the where Bhagavata Dharmam is discussed throughout but sometimes we may not notice it properly that's a difficulty because one thing first problem is that we probably don't fully understand what Bhagavata Dharmam the word means there are certain verses in the Bhagavatam in different places referring to Bhagavata Dharmam in the Ekadasha Skandam also in the second chapter you will find the verse ശ്രുതോ ഇൻ ദ 12th വേഴ്സ് ശ്രുതോ അനുപടിതോ ധ്യാത ആദ്യതോ വാ അനുമോദിതാഹ സദ്യ പുനാദി സദ്ധർമ്മോ ദേവ വിശ്വദ്രുഹോഭിഹി 12th വേഴ്സ് ദിസ് ഈസ് ശ്രീനാരദ മഹർഷി സേയിങ്സ് ടു വസുദേവൻ ദേവകി ശ്രുതോ അനുപടിതോ ധ്യാത ആദ്യതോ വാ അനുമോദിതാഹ സദ്യ പുനാദി സദ്ധർമ്മോ ദേവ വിശ്വദ്രുഹോഭിഹി സോ വെദർ If whether you are following the bhakti process, bhakti margam, or if you are following the jnana margam, either way, the first process is shravanam. In the jnana margam, it is shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. So the first one is shravanam. In the bhakti margam also, it is shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. So again, shravanam is the first thing. Hearing is the most important thing. So, Bhagavat Tattvam, what is Krishna means, Krishna Tattvam or Bhagavat Tattvam, or Krishna's glories, and able to hear that with full attention and completely able to absorb in that, that is, in simple terms, Shravanam. That Shraddha, what is required for Shravanam, it is an important factor. Because only when the intelligence and the mind, both of them, is fully awake, only in that situation, proper Shravanam is possible. In the sense that normally we say, Intelligence has got two states. One thing, it drags us into sense objects. And all kinds of sense objects, the intelligence can distract us and take us there. Which we normally call it as vikshepam. That's the word used in the Shastra, Vikshepam. And the second situation is Layam. Layam means not finding anything interesting, so goes to sleep. So this Vikshepam and Layam, two things, has a effect on Shravanam. That means, we'll have to understand this properly, because this is a very important part of the Bhagavadam's Bhagavad Dharmam. When Krishna spoke about, Srinarada Maharshi spoke about these two, Nimi and Navayogi, Nimi Navayogi Sambhadam, which comes in the first part of the Bhagavadam. So, both these Vikshevam, which happens to the mind and intelligence. Actually, mind and intelligence is one thing, one force, but spoken in two different ways, in the sense that mind brings in sangalpa vigalpam. Different sangalpam it creates, and intelligence makes a decision. So that's all it is. But the force is the same. So, other option is, that is called vikshepam. This mind and intelligence working together and creating this situation. It's called vikshepam. And the other thing, situation, is called layam. That means going into sleep. Going into sleep. Both these vikshepam and layam is a block. It obstructs proper shravanam. Both of them creates that problem. For example, you can see in the... what happens is, in the sleep, the whole thing goes into tamogunam. So, tamoguna pradhanam buddhi. That means, buddhi is controlled by tamogunam. If you fall into sleep, it means that tamogunam is controlling the buddhi. And when the buddhi and the mind, they are together, they go into senses and other thoughts in vikshepam, then it is called rajasika buddhi, rajoguna pradhanam. So, when vikshepam and layam happens, vikshepam leads into rajogunam. That means rajogunam is controlling the mind and intelligence. That's what it means. If the mind is going away, or the intelligence is going away to different sense objects, what that means is, Rajogunam has taken over the mind and intelligence. And if it is going into sleep mode, if you start sleeping, then that means Tamogunam has taken over. Right? Both these, Tamasa Buddhi and Rajasa Buddhi, both of them, in spiritual life, they are very big enemies, both of them. Rajasa Buddhi and Tamasa Buddhi, they are both big enemies in the spiritual life, right? So, if one falls into sleep, then how to understand how we will capture the tattvam of Krishna, Krishna tattvam or Bhagavad tattvam. So, and similarly, if the buddhi is going after different other things in this world, which is normally referred to the sense objects, or all our vyavaharam and other things, which is part of that, that buddhi also will not be able to capture that subtle tattvam of the soul, subtle tattvam of the soul. Sushmam, because it is sushmam, therefore it's difficult. So, therefore this tamasa buddhi and rajasa buddhi, both of them, tattva jityasu, one who wants to understand Krishna or spiritual life properly, for them he has to see both these two things as their biggest enemies. Both rajasa buddhi and tamasa buddhi, one should see that as their greatest enemy. So, if we have not got over these two problems, tamasa buddhi and rajasa buddhi, even if you hear for a long time, the benefit from that will be very, very, very minimum. That is why Shravanam is not an easy thing. Shravanam also requires certain background behind that. Particularly this Tamogunam and Rajogunam. If both these things are in us, if it is Rajogunam, it will take the mind away somewhere else. And intelligence also will follow the different sense enjoyment or sense experiences, what we are thinking about during our day and night, what's going through our head. All that is Rajogunam it is. That is a problem. And similarly, if Tamogunam takes over mind and intelligence, then layam, or we fall into sleep. So one who comes to spiritual life, these are subtle points. One has to be fully conscious and aware of this all the time, that both Tamogunam and Rajogunam are not helping, rather they are our enemies in spiritual path. What they say is, if you are influenced by these two strongly, it will be like writing in the water. If you write in the water, it doesn't stay. In the same way, whatever we hear, it will not have any, it won't be there, it will be gone. So, always we say that I've heard Bhagavatam so long, so many times, but why is that? It's not going deep inside, had any effect in us, right? And it's important to sometimes to reflect on these things and evaluate ourselves, that it's only because of my rajasic nature and tamasic nature in me that it is not having any effect in me. This understanding we should come to often. So, our intelligence, it gets distributed into different sense enjoyment. It is natural. That's vasana inside us will force us to do that. You see, that is why it is important to analyze even sense enjoyment in spiritual life. Krishna does that in many places in the Bhagavatam. He will bring this up all the time about sense enjoyment. And you'll start wondering why Krishna has spoken like this. Reason is this, that if you understand what sense enjoyment means and what do you get from that, and its effect on us, if you analyze it that way, then naturally you will not run after that, rather try to be more conscious of that fact what Krishna has spoken. In one instance, Krishna says, Adhavi, Novasajjera, Srenu Strayeshu Chartavid. Vishaya Indriya Sambhogal, Mana Chubhiri Nani Adha, he says. So the mind is getting influenced by this Rajogunam. In other places also he has spoken the same thing, that it does distract. Distraction comes from that, right? So, and same thing with sleep, both. The distraction due to the thoughts occurring in us due to different attraction to different sense objects. Equally, sleep. These two things. One is Rajogunam, the other one is Tamogunam. One is Rajogunam, the other one is Tamogunam. And both of them won't allow you to have any effect of whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita for that matter. It will not sink inside as long as these two forces are operating within us. So, with full attention to hear and to get that message through inside, that is the finest side of Bhagavata Dharma. That's not the Shruto, Anupadido, Dhyada, Adhyado, Anumodidaha, Sadhya Punadi Saddharma, Deva Vishadruhobihi. This is how Srinarada Maharshi started talking to Vasudeva and Devaki, right? So, this Bhagavata Dharma is a bhakti sadhana as well as it is a jnana sadhana. Both knowledge is in there, process of knowledge is there, and the process of devotion is also there in the Bhagavata Dharma. So this is a important principle there. So here so shruto anupadito dhyana adyato anumoditaha. Whatever we are hearing from Bhagavatam, analyzing it through anugula pratigula means that anupatitham means that favorably and unfavorably, both things, sides of the coin, we have to listen to. That's what in another place it is spoken as the anvayam vidiregam, the same thing. That is the whole process in the Bhagavatam. And that way, what we heard, it has to be that tattvam requires analysis in the mind, listening and thinking about it, whatever we have heard. Never to hear Bhagavatam like a story, because in the stories you can hear and sometimes it will give you some stimulation, inspiration. But tattvam is like this. Tattvam has to go inside. Tattvam has to have its effect. Right? So, this is a important point. I'll tell you what the problem is. Problem is this, that the Ekadasha Skandham particularly, moksham or liberation is spoken. That's the topic discussed, isn't it? Liberation. And in Bhagavatam, when Shuka Brahmarshi started speaking to Parikshit, what he did, first he defined clearly without giving any doubt to anyone, he defined what liberation means. Very explicitly, and not causing any misunderstanding to anyone. Because people generally, they have all kinds of concept about liberation, isn't it? Some people understand this higher planets where you go and enjoy. Some others think that you will get back together with the family again there and have a good time there later on. And some others think in if everything goes and merges there. All these kinds of concepts you will find in all kinds of religions in the world. So, because Shuka Brahmarshi knew about this well, what he did was, first thing, he defined very precisely what does liberation means. Mukti hi tanyadha rupam swarupena vyavasthiti. You will find this definition in the second canto. Mukti hitva anyadha rupam സ്വരൂപേണ വ്യവസ്ഥിതി. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹിസ് ഡെഫിനിഷൻ ഓഫ് മുക്തി. മുക്തി മീൻസ് ലിബറേഷൻ, റൈറ്റ്? ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ലേറ്റർ ഓൺ യു വിൽ ഫൈൻഡ് ഇൻ ദി തേർഡ് കാൻഡോ, റൈറ്റ് ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ദ തേർഡ് കാൻഡോ, there is five different kinds of liberation spoken, is it not? Salokyam, Sarshti, Samipyam. Salokyam, Sarshti, Samipyam, Sarupyam, Aigattvam, Apyada, he says. The five different kinds which people are always looking at it, which one is the best one? Salokyam, you know what they are, it's there in the third canto. Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi that there are these five different kinds of liberation, right? That means, basically what it's saying is that you go back to the place of the deity whom you have worshipped here. If you have worshipped Shiva here, you go to Kailasam. If you have worshipped Vishnu or Narayana, you go to Vaikuntham. If you worship Krishna, you go back to Golokam. Or Devi, if you are worshipping Sri Parvati, you go to her abode, Devi Dhamam. Like this, Salokya, Sarshti, Samipyam, Sarupyam, Aigattvam, Apyada, you will find in the 25th chapter, 3rd canto. Kavilam begins with that. Where he speaks about that. So, all that means is that Salokya means that you go back to the place whom you have worshipped the form, that deity is abode. Sarshti means that you have an opulence similar to the deity's opulences there in that planet. Samipya means you are there with him all the time with the form. Sarupya means you have a similar bodily features like him, like Vishnu in the Vaikuntham. And or if you have, say in Vaikuntham they say they are all four-handed forms. We also will have four hands if you go back there. But two things won't be there. One is the Kaustubham and the other one is the Shrivalsam. Kaustubham is the jewel what Mahavishnu has in Vaikuntham. And the Shrivalsam is the mark on the chest. These two things won't be there even if you come to this Sarupyam. Even though you may have a form similar to Mahavishnu, you won't have these two things there. Then another one is Sayujyam. Sayujyam means you go and completely, dissolve. Become one, what they call it as. Becoming one with the Lord, right? Why did Sugar Goswami didn't accept any of them as liberation? That's an important question. Even though Kapila Maharshi says this, there are these five different kinds of liberation. Sri Shuka Brahmarshi did not go along with it. He said, first thing itself, Mukti hitu anyadharupam swarupena vyavasthiti. That is his condition. Only if you get to that state, you are guaranteed that you are liberated from here. Otherwise not. Reason is this. In the Sayujya state also, there are examples in the Bhagavatam that people have gone to Vaikuntham and come back from there. There are examples to show to us that. And even in the Sayujyam state, that this is not happening. Even though you go and become one with the Lord, with Vishnu or with Shiva, whoever the worship form, none of them is considered to be liberation from Sugar Brahmarshi's point of view. Because he says here, Swarupena Vyavasthiti, Swarupasthiti. That's what he calls it as liberation. Swarupasthiti means that, for example, suppose today, right now, we have this identification with the body, Dehabhimanam, is present at the moment, right? Which means that we are thinking of ourselves separate from the truth. Separate from the truth. Which only when you are thinking and in that realization, Antaryami is present there. Do you get the point? this Antaryami Paramatma concept is only valid as long as you are identifying with the body. It is at that time you are thinking about Paramatma's presence inside. And when we are in the concept of Jiva, Jiva Bhavam, it was at that time this verse in the Bhagavad Gita applies. Ishvara Sarva Bhudanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtadi. That's valid as long as you are identifying with the body. As long as you are in identification with the body. And that is why at that stage you are worshipping that Paramatma who is Antaryami inside. Because you are in the Jiva Bhavam, you are worshipping him as Antaryami inside, present as the super soul, as we call it, right? So that Antaryami or super soul present inside is what is in another term called as Ishta Devata, whichever that form is, whether you are this Antaryami is addressed as Paramatma, is addressed as Krishna, or sometimes as Narayana, sometimes as Vishnu, sometimes as Shiva, in this different way. But person inside is this Antaryami whom we are addressing that way. So it is to that Antaryami you are giving the forms, different forms. That's what it is called Murti Kalpana. We saw this in the 12th canto, in the 11th chapter, how different forms are given to the deities of this Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside. And that is formed by different tattvam. By different tattvam joined together is this form coming, where it's coming from, right? And for the sake of worship, upasana purposes, this has been formed. These different forms have been taken into it. But in whatever forms you take, the living force inside that form is one. They are not different. Whether it is in Shiva's form or Vishnu's form or Narayana form or Krishna's form, inside that living force inside, in all these forms, is the same Chaitanyam or living force. Right. So, in order that, to get our mind free from this Rajogunam and Tamogunam, there is a Murti. Murti Kalpana it is called. A form has to be taken and a form has to be worshipped. Form has to be worshipped. And it is not something that you cannot imagine a form on your own accord. That's not possible. That's not allowed also. The form, in order to have this form, what we are worshipping at the temples, for that there is a shastram behind it. That shastram has decided these are the forms. That's a part of the shastram it is. Me or you, none of us can independently build a form of our own and start worshipping that. It has to be based on the shastram. And shastram say, and there is a reason behind it. That shastram will explain that aspect of the form. That aspect of the form. So, that Jiva Chaitanyam, Chaitanyam is important. Chaitanyam means that living force inside, not the body. That is what matters, isn't it? So, that Jnana, Chaitanyam inside, that itself is considered to be the Murti for Upasana, for worshipping the form. The living force inside is considered to be the worshipable form which is manifested outside in a form what we are worshipping, right? And this form itself, inside that Chaitanyam, it gets two different bhava, two different mood. One is called Ishvara, other one is called Jiva. Vastu is one inside. But it is called two aspects, Ishvara and Jiva. And this Ishvara and Jiva form comes because of Maya. Maya's power inside turns this Antaryami or super soul inside in two forms and present in front of us. For example, what we call it as Vidya and Avidya. Maya has these two things, isn't it? Vidya, Avidya, Surubini. We call Maya like that. Vidya and Avidya. Maya is a very difficult concept. And to ask the question, what is Maya? Difficult to answer that question. Because we don't fully understand Maya. But in Shastram it says like this, that this Maya creates these two things, Ishvara and Jiva. And when with the Vidya or knowledge aspect of the Maya has both in her. Knowledge is there, ignorance is also there. That is the beauty of this Maya. There is knowledge in the Maya and there is ignorance also in the Maya. But when the knowledge in Maya joins the that living force, Antaryami, with that, it's called Ishvara. And similarly, the ignorance in Maya, when it joins the Antaryami inside, it's called Jiva. So, Paramatma Chaitanyam, that Chaitanyam inside, that's what makes all this different manifestation of Jiva and Paramatma, Jiva and Ishvara, two things. So that means it is called Upadhi. Vidya is the Upadhi. Avidya is also the Upadhi. So when Paramatma Chaitanyam, the super soul inside or Antaryami inside, when it has a Upadhi of Vidya, that is called Ishvara. And it is this Antaryami inside is what we are worshipping in the Devada Sangalpam. Devada Sangalpam means all the forms what we worship in the temple is a manifestation of this Antaryami inside. That is how to be understood. We shouldn't think, when most of the people do not look at this side of the spiritual life, what Sri Narada Maharshi is saying, Maitreya Maharshi is saying, Shukha Brahma Maharshi is saying in the Bhagavatam, these points. We go to the temple, we see the deity there. And we think Krishna is there. Yes, Krishna is there. But who is Krishna there? Standing there is the Antaryami inside you, inside us, all of us. Who is present inside us, Antaryami? He is standing there as the deity. That should be the way it should be seen. Only then you will make that progress in spiritual life. Otherwise it will remain as a stone for the whole life. Like marble or stone, whatever that is. But the reason for worshipping that form, Shastram says, to get that mind free from this Rajogunam and Tamogunam, it helps that when there is a form outside on which all our attention falls on that, for upasana purposes that form has been given to us. So, when this Sayujyam, remember Sayujyam, Sayujyam means to go and become one. The problem with that is that when you go and become one with Paramatma, when Jiva goes and becomes one with Paramatma, Jiva still carries with him the avidya. Avidya is still there in him. It has not gone. Liberation is possible. Salokyam, Sarshti, Samipyam, Sarupyam, Aigatyam, Apyuda. The five kinds of liberation. The difficulty with all these five kinds is that the ignorance, avidya inside has not completely gone. Has not completely gone. If there is a trace of avidya inside in us, then you will get separated again from the liberated state. That is the problem with this five kinds of liberation. That you may get there, this is why in Vedantam these things are spoken a lot more precisely. It tells you this. That so therefore, even if you go and get become one with there, even if you become one there with what is called Sayujyam, Even if you get to that state, still there is a possibility that because the avidya has not gone completely from inside, therefore you will get separated again and come back here. So this sayujyam is something like sushupti, deep sleep. Like in deep sleep, you go and deep sleep, fall into deep sleep. You lost your body, you lost your mind, you lost your senses, you lost your ego, everything. Why did we wake up in the morning and come back to this body again? Because of this reason. The same thing happens in sayujyam. That is why they say that that is even not accepted. Sugar Brahmashi is saying there, even that is not acceptable as liberation. That is the reason why he has rejected the five liberations and said that mukti hitvanyadha rupam swarupena vyavasthiti. He accepts only that as liberation, nothing else. Mukti hitvanyadha rupam swarupena vyavasthiti. Right? So, and to get there, to that state, what he is saying, we have to follow this process of Antaryami Upasana and worshipping Antaryami in the form of the deity. All this is done, but ultimate goal is that Mukti hi tanyadha rupam, to come to the Swarupa Sthiti. Swarupena Vyavasthiti. Swarupa Sthiti means to get back to our spiritual identity. What are we? Spiritual? Spiritual identity, not the bodily identity. The spiritual identity. In many places in the Bhagavadam, in different stuti, upadesham and all there, this is spoken, but in all of us, this false concept of liberation is still there. That somehow we, after death, will go to the other planets and we are liberated then. That doesn't go away easily from us because it's deeply ingrained in us. Somehow it came in like that. So that's why we say all the time, after death we'll go back, we'll go back to the spiritual world when we say like that. But the avidya has not gone. But I'm expecting that I'll be in the spiritual world after death. Ignorance is not gone, but I'm still saying I'll be in the spiritual world after death. That itself is a false statement. Because if I have gone with avidya, ignorance in me, it is certain that I will not be able to stay there, I will fall back. And therefore, Sugar Brahmashi is saying there, mukti is only when anyatha rupam tektva swarupena vyavasthiti. That is his precise definition, without causing any misunderstanding, and nobody should further ask any more questions. He doesn't want that any more questions about liberation. And he said that in the very beginning of Bhagavadam, in the second canto, when he started talking to Parikshit. So remember this, that when you read Bhagavadam, there could be possible that you will be reading a lot. You could be reading a lot, and sometimes you can feel conflict inside. Is he saying like this in one way? Kavila Maharshi is saying in one way. Sudeva Goswami is saying in a different way. Which one is the right one? You may ask a question, isn't it? Everybody will get these doubts. It's quite natural. So it is in these situations that you got to think about this and understand that there are reasons why it has been spoken like that. Kavila Maharshi is talking to Devahuti Devi that if you develop bhakti to a very higher degree, it is possible to reach these states. Which one? Salokyam, Sarshti, Samipyam, Sarupyam, Aigatvam, Apyuda. That five different kinds of liberation that's spoken there. But that five states of liberation spoken there also is not what Sugar Brahmarshi is talking about. Sugar Brahmarshi is saying to us, only if you completely free yourself from this bodily identification, only then you can take it for granted avidya has gone completely. As long as there is a slightest trace of avidya inside us, avidya means ignorance in us, that means there is a possibility that you will come back to another body again. So that is a important principle spoken there. And after saying that, we mentioned at the beginning that both these two things, that is an important thing I am trying to mention, that which one? Rajogunam and Tamogunam. As long as it's there, the effect of that we have seen. Rajogunam means mind and intelligence going all over the world, looking for something or the other, not allowing the Shravanam properly. Similarly, Tamogunam put you into sleep, right? So that is the important point. And in the Bhagavatam again, afterwards, we will see, he also mentioned later, in the same, the definition of Bhagavata Dharma was spoken, wasn't it? In the 36th verse. Kayena, everybody knows this verse. Kayena vaja, manasendriyarva, buddhyalpanava, prakrite subhaval, karodi adyal, sakalam parasmai, narayanayadi samarpayami. Right? So, there he says, Bhagavata Dharma means body, mind, and our words speaking, all these things, able to offer everything to Krishna, and that is called a samarpana buddhi. Samarpana means that you are offering to Krishna everything that comes through this body, comes through the mind, comes through the senses, everything as an offering to Krishna. And that is what is Bhagavata Dharma. It defines like that. Kayam, Vacha, Manasa, Indriyam. All of them. All senses, mind, the words, and the body, and buddhi also. All how? Anusrita Svabhaval, according to their nature. Because they are controlled by the vasanas inside. Vasanas control them, right? So, here, what is important is, in Bhagavata Dharmam, unlike in the Vaidika Dharmam, Krishna has not put any limitation on that. That means, any karmam in this world, whatever is happening through our body, Vaidika Dharmam, there is a restrictions. What is the restriction? Restriction is this. You have got karmam, agarmam, vikarmam. Everything in the Vaidika Dharma. Karmam, agarmam, vikarmam. And we should only do the karmam what is prescribed duty, as it's called. Prescribed duty. And forbidden work, which is called vikarmam. Agarmam means not doing anything. So karmam, agarmam, vikarmam exist in the Karma Yogam chapters. Krishna has spoken about that in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So these three things, karmam, akarmam, vikarmam, they are part of the Vaidika Dharmam. But when it came to Bhagavata Dharmam, Krishna has given a change to that, rule. And that means it's not necessary based on the Shruti or the Smriti. Shruti is Vedam. Smriti means what the rishis have given to us, how to implement the knowledge in the Shruti in practical life. That is Smriti. Right? Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam says. So, that means Bhagavata Dharma, the significance is this. In this age, Kali, no one can follow the Vaidika Dharma properly. It's not possible. First of all, Vaidika Dharma means Varnashrama Dharma comes in. Varnashrama Dharma is difficult to follow because there is no Varnashrama Dharma anywhere. Plus, our karma, we don't follow Shastram anymore. Nobody has any faith in the Shastram. And plus, what Shastram says, in the present world, it is difficult to take it on board. It's difficult to take it on board. So therefore, what they have done, Krishna's knowing this, that these difficulties will come. Krishna says that follow Bhagavata Dharmam. If you cannot follow Vaidika Dharmam properly, follow Bhagavata Dharmam. So he gave us this concession that if you, any karma that happens in life through this body, because always we are doing karma. Without karma we can't stay. Karma is a part, as long as you, because rajodigaha karma varaha. Rajogunam is there, karma will be there. So you see rajogunam is there and the karma is there. But if the karma is executed with that understanding, samarpana buddhi, that means offering as an offering to Krishna, in that case, then it becomes Bhagavata Dharma. It becomes Bhagavata Dharma. There the question comes, what is the reason why we don't feel inspired in spiritual life? This is an important question. Why we don't feel inspired in spiritual life? Right? And what is the fundamental reason behind that? This is sometimes is worthwhile thinking about it. Why am I not feeling inspired by in the spiritual life? I'm running after so many other things. For example, generally, most of the people, majority you could say like this, right? Even if they are doing, engaging in spiritual life, the goal is, it is a pious thing to do. So let me engage in some spiritual activity for piety. And they are feeling that if I do these things, I will get the blessings from Krishna and my material life will get through without a lot of difficulties in life. This is the basic thought behind majority of the people. Majority is like that. Nobody can deny these things. Then we are having problems in this world with our survival here, whatever way it is. And there's a lot of problems also with that. So generally people will take to spiritual life just to get through this life, somehow or the other. That's where the goal is, right? So we execute our spiritual life with this belief. With this belief. Not that I am so fascinated by the philosophy of what Krishna is saying there, or I have even understood that, or even that is affecting me so strongly. Who is convinced about everything what is spoken in the Bhagavatam, or in the Bhagavad Gita for that matter? None of us. The whole thing for us looks at the moment an imaginary thing. Spiritual world, spiritual life, life after death, karma, all this is in our mind at the moment. It's an unknown entity. It's too subtle for us to grasp, nor do we have that enough faith in that. But still, we take to spiritual life for one reason only, and that is, in current situation where we are now in our material life, we have some difficulties in material life, therefore we feel that somehow I should do something, some pious activity in the form of spiritual life, and if I can get through my life without too much of a struggle or distress, I'm more than happy with that. That's how our spiritual life is going. And this is true with, you could say, practically 99.9% people in this world. All take to spiritual life only on this basis. And this is one side of the story, right? We must understand why we are not feeling that enthusiasm for spiritual life. That's an important question, right? All of us are engaged in karma, one way or the other, right? Krishna says this, Nadu kaschil chanamavi, jadu tushta tyakarma kral. In the Bhagavad Gita, you will see these words. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, nobody can stay without doing karma in this world. Nadu kaschil chanam, even for a second. Jadu tishtati akarmakril. As akarmam, in the state of akarmam, not doing karmam, nobody can stay in this world. That's how, on one side, that's a situation, right? And everybody everybody engages in karma. And the fact that we had accepted, got this body itself is due to karma. Karma vasana created this body, isn't it? To get through that vasana, prakriti, material nature, gave us a body and told us, go and do your karma now with this body. All what is required to get your vasanas through, that body will provide you all that opportunity for that. Suppose we didn't have any karma vasana, we would not have even taken birth. There would have no birth at all, if there was no karma vasana, right? And a major part of our life in this world, we spend in doing karma for living in this world, isn't it? Livelihood, as we say. For livelihood, we execute the karma in this world. And you can think about your own life. You can see from the age of, say, 18, 20, 22, you started that. And it goes on and on and on. Sometimes it finishes 50, 55, 60. Sometimes it goes to 70, 80 also. It can go. So whole major part of your life is spent in this way through karma. Karma has a strong effect, right? And from morning, say, 8, 9, 9 o'clock, you start the day, until about 5, 6 in the evening, you are in this field of karma. Field of karma. So, you analyze this properly. You see, you go to work in the morning with a lot of enthusiasm to do different things, whatever that you have planned in your mind, that because that is your field of action. Karma meghala, it's called. The field of action, right? But once you go there and you start the work, have you noticed yourself that after a while the mind becomes little bit disturbed? The mind gets disturbed. One way or whatever job it is, it doesn't matter. And then you also have, because what happens is that when you start doing the work, there are various things happening there. You are working with other people. So there is your boss is there, and sometimes the interaction with the boss is not very pleasant. He is demanding unreasonable things. He wants it to be done and he is expecting you to do it. Unreasonable things, and you have to do that. Or sometimes working with other people also is not easy, because they all try to, they have their vasanas and their way of doing things. Sometimes it may not agree with you, and therefore you can see various kinds of situations developing, whether it is in the office or in the factory or elsewhere. Your interaction with the world itself will create these things in us. From morning, 9, 10 o'clock it starts, you start working. Slowly as the day passes through, you will see this effect of all these things in you. So, when you come home in the evening, 5 or 6 or whatever time it is, look at your own mind and see the situation when you went in the morning to work and when you came back in the evening. You can immediately understand the disturbances in your mind, what has happened by the interaction with the world, the bosses, the colleagues or the others whom you had to deal, customers, whomever you had to deal with, all of that had its effect in your mind and intelligence, and that disturbance what you feel is called rajogunam. It is called rajogunam. When the mind and intelligence is getting disturbed due to your interaction with the world, and when the world creates this disturbance inside, it is called rajogunam. Right? And some days, it's possible also, it is there to some degree every day, but in some days, you feel totally fed up with the work, what you are doing. You get, and that feeling of getting fed up is tamogunam. Getting disturbed due to your interaction with the bosses, the colleagues, and the customers, and the world, and everyone, you feel that their effect on you when you come home in the evening of the whole day, that effect is rajogunam. And feeling fed up from the whole thing when you come home in the evening is tamogunam. Is tamogunam. So that means the disturbance inside is rajogunam, and getting fed up and frustrated, that is tamogunam. So we perform our karma throughout the day. I am doing it, and that means I am the doer and I want the results. It is with this understanding I am working the whole day. Kartrutvam and Voktrutvam, right? So all karma we are doing whole day is with these two, Kartrutvam and Voktrutvam, right? And with this Kartrutvam, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, Kartrutvam and Voktrutvam. And when you perform karma with that, the result will be rajogunam and tamogunam will build up more inside us. Inside us it will build up more, both rajogunam and tamogunam, right? And when rajogunam builds up, mind will get disturbed. And when tamogunam builds up, you will get disgusted or frustrated or fed up with that, right? So this goes on every single day throughout life. From the age of, say, 20 or 22, whenever you started the work, till you leave that, this is what is happening in your life, right? And more and more, this rajogunam and tamogunam is building up inside. You are bound more. Material existence gets stronger. Samsaram, what they call it as? Samsaram, that bondage gets stronger, right? And the more you get bound like this, you will be distancing yourself from self-realization or from Krishna. The more you get bound like this, more and more you get bound with this rajogunam and tamogunam, you will be distancing yourself more from Krishna or the Self or Antaryami in that way. And the more you get bound in that way, you will distance yourself from Krishna, and also you will lose the inspiration for spiritual life. Both. Two things will happen. One, you will be distancing more and more, because you have to see this. This is an important thing. That we are thinking that I can keep both things together forever. That will not work. What will happen is you will neither have this nor the other. That's what will happen at the end. So it is such an important thing that my working in this world for the whole life, if this is what I am getting from that, a whole bag of rajogunam and a whole bag of tamogunam, and I want to have spiritual life as well. That is why our shravanam does not have any effect or impact in us, as long as if I have these two full bags of rajogunam and tamogunam with me. Due to the presence of this rajogunam and tamogunam in me, I will be moving away from the realization of self, Krishna consciousness in other words, and at the same time, what else will happen? My desire for spiritual life will start going away from me. I will lose the interest. All inspiration and interest will go away from inside, and it will be just a question of struggle, survival every time. So, to the extent that we are getting filled up with this rajogunam and tamogunam, to that extent you will be more moved away from Krishna. And so you can understand why, when we have this kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam inside, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and I am doing the karma in that way, that you can't do easily come out of these two things. And karma I am doing that way, with I am the doer and I am the enjoyer is strong in me, the net result of all this a lot of Rajogunam, a lot of Tamogunam, and these Rajogunam and Tamogunam is not allowing me to act, to realize anything what the rishis are talking about. Because they are telling us openly that your Rajogunam and Tamogunam is your problem. Sort this out first, and then we can, you will understand what we are talking about. Krishna has spoken this in various different ways in the Bhagavad Gita, the same thing, right? So, so as long as we understand that with this idea, which one, that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, and with that conviction, if we execute karmam for the whole life, if we don't make any progress in spiritual life at the end of the lifetime, we don't have to be surprised at all about it. We not be surprised at all, right? So that is the reason Bhagavata Dharma was spoken, to bring a different way of looking at karma, to change the attitude of karma. Because karma, you cannot give up. Karma will force you, the vasanas inside will force you to act. And at the same time, karma cannot be given up. And that is why this verse is important. Kayena vaja, manasendriyerva. That verse has to be understood properly. In what background it has been spoken? Budhyalpanava, hrude subhaval, karodi yadyal, sakalam parasmai, narayanayadi samarpayami. That narayanayadi samarpayami is important. Because if Rajogunam and Tamogunam is building up inside me, day after day after day, whole life, what can you expect from that? Because Krishna says, Satval Sanjayade Jnanam, only in Sattvagunam you will understand what I am talking about. Krishna is saying there. Satval Sanjayade Jnanam. Now, if Rajogunam and Tamogunam I have built up whole life, what will happen? That means, even if you hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, the effect of that will be very, 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 very minimum because of these two things there. So, those things is worthwhile keeping in mind while we look at ourselves, because we are always thinking that spiritual life is easy. Spiritual life is not easy. Spiritual life has got so many subtle problems. And that subtle issues, if we don't sort out, physically you may do so many things, but that subtle side of that is important. And these things has to be spoken, reminded all the time, and from the listeners also, from their side, they should take it on board and try to see what can be done about that. Otherwise it will go on like this. That is why Prithu Maharaj said this, if you remember, when we talked about this, he said, Vidhalso karnaidam eshame vara. Prithu, while he was administering the planet, he said to his people that, look, whatever you are doing, you have to stop it at a certain time. Don't make this as the whole purpose of life. Which one? Economic development. Leave it at a certain time in life and then think about self-realization, spiritual life after that. So he guided the people in that direction. There's a big difference, what Prithu said and what the modern governments will tell us. Modern government doesn't tell you, you have to realize yourself. Government will only tell you one thing, now you are living longer, so you work for longer time. They will drag you to the extent they can. Blind leading the blind, isn't it? So, Prithu Maharaj said like this, that give me so many years, he said, so that I can hear about you. That's what he was saying. So that I can hear about you. So therefore, he said this, Vidhalso karnaidam eshame vara. If you look into the fourth canto, how he put that in the fourth canto, 420. Yeah. 24. Na kamaye natha tadapyaham kojil na yatra yushmacharanam bhujasava mahatamandar hrudayan mukhachyado vidhalswa karna idameshame vara. That's what he said. He says, na kama ye natha tadapyaham kojil na yatra yushma charanam bujasava mahatta mandra khadayan mukhat chudo vithalswa karna yudameshami varya. He is saying there that I would like to hear about you, because he knows very well, unless I hear, it won't. And Prithu Maharaj was known for his shravanam. When he heard, the four Kumaras told him that your hearing is the right hearing. Without mind allowing, because Prithu knew when to stop it. People had difficulty at that time. His father, means Vena, handed over a kingdom which was completely in a mess. No food, no rain, and people had nothing to eat, people were dying, starvation. And that planet he brought into a situation where people had enough to live on. After that he said, we have to stop this here. This is not the goal of life. This economic development only is not the goal of life. We have to stop this. We have enough to eat. We have a place to sleep. We don't need anything more than that. And then he tells them, hear about Krishna. Hear about Krishna, because that is the goal of life. So that's what he's saying. Na kama ye natha tadapyaham kochilna yatra yushmat charanam bhujasava mahattam andar hridayan mukhachyudo vithalswa karnayudam eshame varaha. So saying this, so you will see in the Bhagavatam this coming, this issue coming up again and again. It says, and naturally, Krishna gave the opportunity for Prithu Maharaj to hear more. That's why the Kumaras came and spoke to Prithu. And Prithu left everything, went to the forest with his wife Archis, and then eventually went back to the spiritual world. So, that one incident there. And then you will see about Sri Narada Maharshi. Krishna is saying, Devarshi me Priyadama. Among all the rishis, Devarshi, Narada Maharshi is very dear to me, he says. All the time, Sri Narada Maharshi is chanting the holy name. Isn't it? You will see in the first canto, Maharshi himself saying this, how it happened to him. In the first canto, you will see, in the sixth chapter, when he talks about himself, he says that last verse 1639. Sri Narada Maharshi is saying, Aho, Suta Goswami is saying all this, Aho Devarshi, about Sri Narada Maharshi, Aho Devarshi Dhanyoyam, Yat Kirtim Sharanga Dhanyuna, Gayan Madhi Nidam Tandriya, Ramayati Adhuram Jagat, he says. That it's wonderful, he said, this Narada Maharshi is very fortunate because he is wandering around the whole creation, glorifying Krishna. And Gayan Madhyan Idam Tandriya Ramayati Adhuram Jagat. And he, when he, Narada Maharshi is singing, glorifying Krishna, it pleases everyone. It pleases the whole creation. Everyone gets affected by that. So Narada Maharshi found this solution. What was that? Look at the word, Ramayati Aturam Jagat. Jagat means this creation is Aturam, suffering. Everywhere people are suffering in one way or the other. So in order to give happiness to them, Devarshi started singing the holy name, Krishna's holy name. Right. So what happened was, when Sri Narada Maharshi started chanting, he chanted holy name in such a way that at one stage, whosoever holy name he chanted, that particular form will appear in front of him. When he chanted Krishna's holy name, Krishna appeared. And when he chanted Ramachandra's holy name, Ramachandra appeared. When he chanted Lord Shiva's holy name, Lord Shiva appeared in front of Sri Narada Maharshi. You will see there are special words, special holy names, what Sri Narada Maharshi chants. In Naradiya Puranam, he talks about that. So, therefore, Devarshi me Priyadama. Narada Maharshi is very dear to me, Krishna says. Right? So, all the time, Srinarada Maharshi has the holy name on his tongue, right? And Narada Maharshi, he was instructed by the four Kumaras, Sanaka Mushi, Sanaka Sanandana, Sanadana, Sanat Kumara. Is that right? So he started listening to Srimad Bhagavatam on instruction. You will see this in the Padma Purana Mahalmyam, that Sri Narada Maharshi started hearing Bhagavatam on instructions from Kumaras, four Kumaras, right? Shri Krishna, Govinda Hare Murare, He Natha Narayana Vasudeva. That when he chanted in Vrindavanam, Bhakti Devi came with her children, Jnanam and Vairagyam. Bhakti Jnana Vairagyam. Bhakti is the mother, Jnanam and Vairagyam, they came together, right? And the children looked very old. Their old age has gone when they heard this. They have not heard Bhagavatam yet. They just heard the holy name, right? So they wanted to hear Bhagavatam. Even before that, this has happened. So that is why they say that even before hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, just by hearing the holy name from Narada Maharshi was chanting, the children have become free from their old age, influence of old age. And imagine when one hear Bhagavatam properly, what can happen. In the 10th canto, this is spoken very explicitly. He says that when talking about Putana, Krishna gave liberation to her, right? And if you look in the Putana Moksham story, in the 10th canto, 10.6.35, Sri Kumbhramarshi is saying there, Putana, Logabhalagni, Rakshasi, Rudhirashana, Jikamsayabi Haraye, Stanam Dattuava Salgadim, says. That verse is enough to talk to us about Putana's situation, right? Putana means, the word itself is, one is not pure, impure. That's what Putana, Putana. Means that her job is not very good, is it? She kills babies. And family background is also not very good. The food habits are not good. She is not a Brahmana or anything. Born in the Rakshasa family. Akasura, Bhagasura, they are the brothers. Rakshasa family, right? And she eats flesh. Flesh means not even cooked flesh. Flesh which is raw meat. She can eat that. That's her diet, we can say. Putana Loga Balagni Rakshasi. That's why all those words are used here specifically. Putana Loga Balagni, one who kills the children. To impress us that what sort of person she is, right? Rakshasi, coming from the Rakshasa side. Rudhirashana. She doesn't drink tea or coffee, she drinks blood. Rudhirashana, right? And why did she come here? Jikhamsayabi haraye stanam dattuava salgadim. She wanted to kill Krishna. That was her goal. Kamsa had sent her for that. That means even her intention is not pure. So the intention is not pure, the habits are not pure, the background is not pure, and her karma is also not pure. Karma means loga bhalagni, killing children, babies. That was her job. Udana loga bhalagni. And the background is rakshasi, coming from the rakshasa. Food habits is rudhirashana, drinks blood. rather than coffee or tea or whatever normal ordinary people drink here. Even that she is not happy with that. She wants blood. And then, Jigamsayabi Haraye. All she wanted to do was to kill Krishna. Jigamsayabi Haraye. Sanam Dattwaba Salgadim. He says. And so her intention is also not good. And she fed breast milk to Krishna. Right? Stanam Dattwaba Salgadim means she has just put the breast into Krishna's mouth. Right? And what did Krishna give to her? She has not given breast milk to Krishna. Just put the breast into the mouth and Krishna sucked the life out of her. So, Krishna is like that. What you have brought to Krishna, Krishna is not looking at it. So, that is why you will see Sri Shuka Brahmarshi caught on to that. This about Pudana. That is why this Pudana's liberation has actually influenced Sri Sukadeva Goswami a lot. Aho Bekiyam Stana Kala Kodam Jigamsayaya Adapya Sadhvi Lebhe Gedim Datri Ujidam Kudonyo Kamva Dayalum Sharanam Rajema. You will see this in the third canto. Talked about Putana. Shuka Brahmarshi talking about Putana in the Vidura Uddhava Sambhada. That's where it comes, right? So, therefore, even though she was so impure, her intention was not good, her habits were not good, her karma is also not good, her background is not good, every way she was impure. And Krishna says to her, you also go back to the spiritual world and be like Mother Yashoda, my mother. Be there like that. Lebhe gadim datri uchidam kudonyo. Who has done this? Shuka Brahmarshi is saying. Who else has done this? You have come to me with the intention of killing me and to please Kamsa. So that means you are not come with bhakti. You have come with completely with this intention. In spite of all that Krishna is saying to her, you can go back to the spiritual world. Kamva dayalum sharanam rajema. That compassion or mercy what Krishna has shown to Putana, who else will show this? Shuka Brahmarshi mentions there, right? So, what is Krishna given to all of them? To the cowherd boys, to the gopis, all of them? We don't know what all has happened to them really. If we look into the 14th chapter in Brahmasudhi, in the Bhagavadam, there, it says there, in the 14th chapter, that is the Brahmasudhi, verse 35 if you look, what does he say? Lord Brahma is saying there, that, Esham, Kosha Nivasinam, Udabhavan kim deva ratetina chedo vishuvalad phalam tudabaram kutrapeyan mukhyati sadveshadiva putanabhi sakala sagula tvameva devapita yaddha martha suhru priyalpadanaya pranashaya stolkrite. He's saying that Brahma is saying to Krishna that these people here in Vrindavanam, referring to cowherd boys and the gopis, everybody. He says there, they have offered everything to you, their own body, their family, children, and their life. And what you are going to give it back to them in return? When I think about it, I am getting completely surprised, he says. Because the Brahma, Lord Brahma understood the situation when he came there. He says to Krishna at that time, Krishna was not even looking towards Brahma. Krishna completely ignored him. And Brahma is saying to Krishna that Yesham Ghoshanivasinam Udabhavan Kim Devaradhidina Chedo Vishwavaran Bharam Todabaram Kutrapen Mukhyadi. I am getting completely confused, he said, because these people, they have given everything to you, and I am sometimes thinking, what will happen to them later on? In return, what are you going to offer them? He is saying, Yadda sadveshadiva pudanabhi sagula tvameva devabhida. For pudana you have done like this, who had come to you with a bad intention and with nothing good in her. Everything was bad. Intention was bad, karma was bad, habits are bad, background is bad, everything is bad with pudana. And to her you have given this state of liberation, like Yashoda. What will you offer to these people? Brahma is asking Krishna. Because the sacrifice they have done, they have loved you, they have given everything in their life for you. So I wonder, he says, Brahma is saying, I wonder in return what you are going to offer them. This is confusing me, he says. Because even for Pudana, if you could offer that liberation, these people who have given so much to you, you can't offer the same, has to be something more than that. So that is why, for example, he says there that Brahma got convinced on this. He said that when Brahma took away all the calves and the cowherd boys, Krishna expanded himself, isn't it? In the form of cowherd boys and in the form of calves. That means, for a whole year, all the gopis enjoyed Krishna directly as their children. They didn't know that. They didn't know that it was Krishna who was coming home every evening. And they were breastfeeding Krishna as though they were their own children, the mothers. And all the cows in their home, they were also enjoying, because the calf who had come every evening home is Krishna. Krishna was sucking the milk from the udder of the cows, and cows felt extreme happiness they felt. Like the mothers felt with their children, the cows felt with their calves as well. Right. And this whole year, the gopis got the opportunity to bathe them, to put them to sleep, to dress them, and to feed them. To feed Krishna, in other words. Right. So, one whole year, gopis looked after their children, but actually they were looking after Krishna. They were looking after Krishna. Right. So, what will Krishna give in return for this? Right. Normally people will say to Krishna that please be kind enough to be pleased with us for what we are doing, right? So in that 14th chapter itself, in the verse 31, Aho didanya vrajagoramanyam tanyamradam pitamadivade muda yasam vibhoval sadaralpaja alpana yatruptaye dhyabina chalamadvaraha. So, gopis were like that, their relationship with Krishna. That gopis will say to Krishna, Krishna, can you dance for a while for us? We want to see you dancing. And Krishna will dance. And gopis asked Krishna to sing, and Krishna will sing for them. Right? So, to such an extent, Krishna was under their control. Right? And that is when Lord Brahma says, look at their good fortune, that Krishna has come to this relationship with them, to such a close relationship with them, and therefore he said, aho bhagyam, nanda gopa vrajaugasam, yan mitram paramanandam, purna brahma sanatanam. You will see that verse in the same chapter at the end. Yeah. 32. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam. seeing this relationship with gopis and Krishna. That's all Brahma could say. These people, what a good fortune they have, he said. So, how did this happen? Because the only thing gopis have done is, they have taken shelter. Ashrayam. That was their success. Ashrayam is the shelter. Ashrayam is shelter. So, in the 12th canto, we are discussing ashrayam, isn't it? So, the ashrayam means, gopis are the example for that. The greatest shelter gopis have taken is Krishna shelter. Right? So, that is what is showing in this 8th canto also, the same thing. Lakshmi Devi is saying to us, Lakshmi is saying here, Lakshmi never comes alone. Lakshmi is always with Krishna. Always with Krishna. So, Lakshmi is telling us, take Krishna shelter. Everything will be come out okay. Right? So, otherwise, you remember, first came Varuni and then came Lakshmi. Isn't it? So, do not take shelter of Varuni. That's the message. Varuni had come and Asuras went after that. So the Asuric nature is to take shelter of Varuni. And Bhagavatam is saying, you have these two options in front of you. Varuni is there and Lakshmi is there. You can decide whom you want. Right? So, Lakshmi Devi is saying, if you go after Varuni, you know what will happen. Where Varuni will take you at the end. And Lakshmi Devi is saying to us, come, follow me, she is saying. Right? And in the 5th canto also, you will find the same statement from Lakshmi Devi. In the 5th canto. And there also, Rishabhadev is saying this, Mahat Sevayam Dwaram Ahor Vimuktam Tamo Dwaram Yoshidam Sangi Sangam Mahandaste Samachita Prashanda Vimanyava Sukhrudasadhavo Ye. When Rishabhadev gave instructions to his sons, Bharata Yogishvara and other 100 children, what did he tell them? He said to them that Mahandaste Samachita Prashanda Vimanyava Sukhrudasadhavo Ye. And that same principle Lakshmi Devi is showing to us here. Right? That means if you follow devotees, if you follow people following Krishna consciousness seriously, if you follow them, you will find benefit from that. You won't be a loser. That's funny. Whereas if you follow sense objects and sense enjoyment, run after Varuni and things like that, Bhagavatam is saying, don't go in that direction. Go in this way, like the way Lakshmi Devi has done. Right? So, this 8th canto, churning of the milk ocean, begins with this first instruction that make your direction correct first. The direction in which you want to go in life. Do not go after Varuni, go after Lakshmi. Right? And because different stories will teach us in different ways. Even though it says all these things in the Bhagavatam, sometimes people still go after Varuni. Isn't it? Right? They say, it happened to people. Even after reading Bhagavatam and everything for a long period of time, they say, I'm not getting anywhere in my spiritual life, I will rather go back to Varuni. And people did go back to Varuni again. So, 8th canto, why Varuni was brought first? Because our tendency is there in us, vasana in us, that when we have an attraction for our sense enjoyment and the rajogunam is strong in us and tamogunam, suppose there is strong rajogunam tamogunam in us and there is vasana also inside, naturally, when Varuni comes, we'll go after Varuni rather than Lakshmi. But Lakshmi is teaching us something different, right? Varuni says to us, if you come with me, you can enjoy, but it will be very limited and it will be for a very short period of time. The happiness with Varuni. Lakshmi Devi is saying here that come with me, don't chase me, but come with me. That's what she is saying. I will take you in the right direction because she is always engaged in Krishna service. So, in Bhagavatam, Lakshmi Devi is teaching this important lesson. Follow my path. I serve Krishna. Follow the same thing. If you please Krishna, I will be there. You don't have to separately follow me, separately worship me. No necessity. And that is what in the 10th canto, where it was spoken that at the time of appearance, when gopis came to give their gifts to Krishna, while leaving the Nanda Maharaj's home, Nanda Maharaj was offering them so much gold and jewelry, everything. Where did they all come from? Because as soon as Krishna appeared, Lakshmi Devi was dancing there whole time. You will see that in the 10th canto spoken, that in the appearance itself, at the time in the third chapter, in the third chapter, where it says about Lakshmi Devi was present, and Shuka Brahmarshi makes it very clear to us, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they were not very rich people. They were ordinary people who were doing their business of selling milk and making a living out of that. Isn't it? But here what did happen, that as soon as the if you look into the fifth chapter, when the fifth chapter, you can look, you will see that she was dancing there with all the wealth, suddenly appeared in Krishna's presence, everything. And gopis were giving, Gopya Sahmashta Manikundala Nishka Kandya Chitram Varaha Padishikha Chudamalya Varshaha Nandalayam Savalaya Vrajadir Virejur Vyalola Kundala Payodharahara Shobhaha. Verse 11. Gopis have dressed very well to see, going and seeing Krishna. And they were wearing very expensive jewelry. Where did gopis get all this from? Gopya samrashta manikundala nishka kantya chitrambaraha pathi shikha achyudam alyavarshaha nandalayam savalaya vrajadir virejur vyalola kundala payodharahara shobhaha. How gopis were looking so opulent with their clothes, with their jewelry, everything, and they look so beautiful. And why is that? Because as soon as Krishna appeared, Lakshmi Devi's presence made them all rich. The whole Gokulam became very rich. And they didn't feel any shortage of anything. Suddenly that Vrindavanam became so wealthy. That is what it is saying like that. And you will see in the 18th verse, Shuka Brahmarshi pointing out that very precisely, he is saying there, Tada Arabhya Nandasya Vrajam Sarva Samurdhiman. Vrajam became full of opulences. Why? Hare Nivas Almagunai Irama Kridan Nabhun Rabha. He says there that Nandamayarat's Govulam, because of Lakshmi Devi was playing there whole time. Therefore, Nanda Maharaj's Gokulam, Tada Arabhya Nandasya Vrajam Sarva Samardhiman Hare Nivas Almagunai Rama Kridam Abhun Rubha. Rama Kridam Abhun Rubha. Rama is Lakshmi Devi. Her, it has become her playground. She brought so much opulence, came there, and gopis was not short of anything from that day, neither the cowherd boys. So you can understand what Lakshmi Devi is saying to us here also, that
if you follow Krishna's, just because Krishna appeared there, Lakshmi Devi displayed her all opulences there. Rama Kritam Apunrupa, that's important ones. And it is after that they continued the churning. We are talking about the churning the milk ocean, isn't it? So if you look into the 8th canto, in that 8th chapter, the next personality, we have talked about different appearances happening. So many appearances come in this churning of the milk ocean. So in the 8th chapter, you will find this. Here he says here that Atho Dadher Madhyamanad Kashyapai Amrutarthibhi Udadishtan Maharaja Purusha Paramalbhuda. When they continued the churning, the demigods and the demons, suddenly a personality appeared from that. What does he say? Udadishtan Maharaja Purusha Paramalbhuda. An amazing personality came from there. Amazing personality came from there. So, have you noticed, in several incarnations, when appearance happens, Shukha Brahmarshi will say, Adbhudam. Parama Adbhudam. Krishnavadaram also it happened. Tam Adbhudam Balagam Ambujayakshanam, he says. Here also says, about Dhananjari, Adbhudam. Varaha appear also says, Adbhudam. Everything is Adbhudam, he says. Albhudam. And after this, when Mohini Murti comes, at that time also, Shiva Brahmarshi says, Albhudam. Every moment when he is saying this, he is in a shock. Shiva Brahmarshi is in a shock. So, Bhagavatam is saying to us that give your attention here, because Kashyapa's children, these both demons and demigods, their father is the same, Kashyapa Prajapati. One is from the Didi and Danu, those children had come, who Mahabali, Asuras, all of them. And from Aditi Devi came the others, Indra and all other, his family members, all of them. So, but they are together now, working together very hard to get the nectar. And suddenly, it says, Atho Dadher Madhyamana Kashyapai Amrutarthibhi. They are all called Kashyapas because Kashyapa Maharshi is son. Children they are. So Kashyapai. Amrutarthibhi. They want this nectar because the demigods want the nectar because they want to get out of their physical conditions. Old age and this is Jara Mara, they want to get free themselves from that. The demons thought, if we have it, we can enjoy more. So that's their mind is working that way. We get, after taking the nectar, you will become immortal. That means forever we can enjoy. This is the demoniac thinking, right? And it is at that time, look at the next verse, how he appeared. Dirgham. Pivaror Danda. Kambu Grivo Arunekshana Shyamala Sarana Sragvi Sarva Abharana Bhushidaha. That talks about Dhanvantari's form, right? Long arms right up to the knees, not while sitting, while standing up, right up to the knees, right? This Samudriya Lakshanam will say this, that men who are long arms right up to the knees is considered to be very auspicious. And his neck was like a conch shell, the neck. the color of the, and then eyes was reddish.
Dirga pivarador danda kambugrivo arunekshana.
Aruna means reddish color. Right? Arunekshana. We got this pupil in the eye, and all around it is blackish color. It's more like black, it looks not black itself, like if the white color mixed with red, how it will look, that kind of color it was.
Arunekshana.
And then Krishna's, his color also, Shyamala Staruna, like Krishna's color, Shyamala Staruna. You can't, Shyamala means, not, you can't say it's like exactly black, but it, more or less you can say like the color of the clouds, dark clouds, right? All kind of this color, Shyamala Varnam, this gray or whatever that color is. You'll see about Krishna also spoken the same way. Krishna is called Shyamasundara for that reason, isn't it? So, Dhanvantari's color is also Krishna's color, same color. And youth, young person, means he is just entering into his youthful age, Tarunyam. Shyamala's Taruna. Tarunyam. Tarunyam means that you have just, a man looks beautiful at that time. He's just left his, and the girls also, childhood, boyhood he has finished, and he's become a teenager. He looks beautiful at that time. Like the girls, the same thing, the boys also. Tarunyam. Tarunyam Aramparamyam says. Paramasukara Saswada Romanjidangai Avidam Naradadir. Sri Narada Maharshi, with Krishna in that way, devotees have seen. Tarunyam Aramparamyam. Tarunyam. Youthful form has manifested. Right. So, about 16 years old. And when you look at boys also, at that age they look beautiful. Before they get spoiled. then they become old afterwards. So you will see this spoken in the Bhagavad many places. When Sukadeva Goswami came, he was the same age, 16 years old. If you look into the first canto, it's interesting to observe these things. In the 19th chapter, when he came in,
Tam Dvashtavarsham. Dvashtavarsham
means 16. Ashtam is 8. Dvashta means 16.
Tam Dvashtavarsham. Sukumara Pada Karoru Bahuam Sagapola Gatram. Charvaya Dakshona Satulya Kurnam. Tulya Kurna Subhrananam Kambu Sujada Kandam.
So, whatever you find here spoken about Dhanvantari, you will see the same applies to himself, who is speaking, Shuka Brahmarshi also, in the same way, right? And the same thing with Krishna also. When they talk about Krishna, in the same way it is spoken, right? So, what is the difference between Krishna and Sukadeva Goswami? The difference is this: Krishna is dressed up fully. If you remove all the dress from Krishna, jewelry, clothes, and all other decorations from Krishna, that is Sukadeva Goswami then. He looks exactly the same. So, when there is no makeup or no dress, then it is Sukadeva Goswami. When fully dressed, then that's Krishna then. Right? So, Shuka Brahmarshi doesn't have any jewelry. Completely naked. No clothes, no jewelry, no decorations in the body, nothing. right? And Krishna has got all the clothes, all the jewelry, everything, right? And that's why people, when they see Krishna fully dressed, they like to see Krishna, the beauty of Krishna, right? Whereas Shukha Brahmashi has not even bathed. Body has no care for the body. Doesn't have any attraction for the body. And neither doesn't have that pidambaram, the yellow garment what Krishna wears, doesn't even have the kaubinam there. That's how Shukha Brahmashi is, right? So, and Krishna likes to be dressed well, as best as possible. He loves that, getting dressed. That's why they say Alangara Priyo Krishna. Whereas Lord Shiva is like Sukadeva Goswami, doesn't like any dress. Simple as possible. That is his nature. He doesn't believe in decorating the body, and those who decorate the body, he makes fun of them. He tells them that this is the food for the jackals and the asses, he says. They'll be eating this body, and you are decorating this for what? He's saying. And he enjoys covering the whole body with ashes and wandering around in that way. The only thing is, Lord Shiva likes his continuously having abhishek done with water from the Ganges. If you bring water in a pot and perform abhishek for Shiva, he is more than happy. The more abhishekam you do with water, he is more happy with that. So that's why this statement comes from that. Alangara Priyo Vishnu. Krishna is Alangara Priyam. And Abhishega Priyo Rudra. Shiva is always fond of Abhishegam. Whereas Krishna doesn't want this Abhishegam a lot. What he wants is everyday new dress, everyday plenty of jewelry, plenty of flowers, and fully dressed up. He enjoys that dressing. So, but there is a difference there. Lord Shiva's devotees are all wealthy. Krishna's devotees are all poor. This is also there. The difference between Krishna and Shiva. That's also there in the Bhagavatam. So we'll continue on Thursday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.